even though you have sold a ton of records by yourself and, of course, in Van Halen, there are those, as you
Montrose.
Know, Montrose, okay. You know, solo, but there are those that never fully accepted you in Van Halen. Did that sting?
Well, kind of, yeah. In the early times, it was so exciting that I ignored it because, you know, we came out, we made a record in 10 days or something, you know, 5150. It was a rocket ship because, you know, Eddie had all that material sitting around that they were planning on doing with Dave and never got done. A lot of those songs were Summer Nights and 5150 came later, but Good Enough. A lot of those songs were things that were laying around on cassette tapes, and we put them in. I didn't, you know Dave, but I mean, but just hearing the band, I'm going, wow, man, here, let's work on that, you know. So it happened pretty fast, that first record, and we jumped out and went straight to number one, and our first show sold out before the album even came out.
Sure.
So we're going, this is it, you know, this is great. But it seems like as time went by, that's when that stuff started coming in that started, you know, and it would piss me off. I would think, after all the success we've had, how can someone, every time they review our record, they got to mention the past, you know? Like Come Around Four and Lawful Chronology, which was a great record. I think it's one of the greatest records Van Halen made. You know, and the people start still trying to compare them, going, wait a minute, this is 45 million records, you know, five or six sold out world tours. How could you even talk about the past? We are a new band. You know, one person, one change in the band makes chemistry different.
Right.
And I walked into a band that Eddie had pretty much exhausted his brand new guitar style, which everyone finally heard. It was standard. You know, it was no longer, well, I've never heard anybody play like that before. Now everybody's playing like that by the time I got in the band, right? So it wasn't this brand new, fresh, you know, young kid thing. We were grown-ups, and we had all sold millions of records and sold out arenas all around the world, all of us, and me as an individual. We got together on that level, and it really didn't deserve to be compared to a bunch of young kids starting out like Van Halen was, because that's the most exciting period of anyone's life. So you got to say, oh, well, you know, it's not the same. It wasn't the same. Everyone knew that. But you'd never hear David Lee Roth singing right now, writing a lyric like that, or you never hear him singing a song like When It's Love. You know, that could never have happened before. Those are dreams. Those are great, great songs. And they could have never done that before. And if they would have just kept going, that era of Van Halen would have never happened. So you watch. Mark my word, I hate to be a psychic here, but you watch it start biting on them if they continue to try to just go out with Dave and Wolfie and go out as Van Halen and just play those old songs. There's going to be a whiplash that's going to do exactly what happened to me. To them, it's going to be like, well, hey, we'd like to hear Right Now. We want to hear Dreams. Hey, we want to hear Pound Cake. We want to hear Why Can't This Be Love, you know? We want to hear Finish What You Started, you know? Can't do it.
Before we get to some reader questions, are you on friendly terms with David Lee Roth? Because you guys did do the Sam and Dave tour.
No, we're not. We're not on any terms. Dave's Dave, I'm Sam, you know? And we coexist in different worlds.
Okay. We have a few reader questions for you. A reader named James Eld says, will you get in the studio anytime with your son, Aaron? You guys sound amazing together. I guess this reader has heard you play with your son.
I would say, yeah. Aaron, he sang on my last record. He sang on Living It Up. He sang Someday with me, and he sang Halfway to Memphis, the backgrounds. He's done stuff, backgrounds on a few of my CDs. As far as just getting together and doing a duet or something like that, I just don't see time for it. First of all, we're different. We have different musical tastes. You know, Aaron comes into my world and works okay in it, but if it's only fair, if you're going to do a collaboration with your son or anyone, is to split the world down the middle, and my musical tastes and his are different. I love the guy. He's extremely talented. Only thing I could say is that Aaron needs to go out and put a band together himself and present himself to the world with his musical style and his voice, because he's a good singer and he's a good, great artist.
A reader named The Dude 5 says, hey, Sammy, you are definitely the Cabo man. I always wanted to know, what was your wildest experience on the road, and did it involve anyone besides yourself?
Oh boy. I would certainly hope so. My private life and stuff that I've done, I like to pretty much keep it private, you know, and that's why I've never written a book. Well, I've written a couple books, but I've never let them out because I've got a wild side, and that's kind of my own stuff, and I don't think people need to know about that. But yes, it involved myself and a bunch of other people. About five of them.
Okay. A reader named...
Was it six? Oh, no, I think it was.
A reader named Bog Wappet says, do you want the studio recordings of the Montrose rehearsals back? What the hell was Ronnie on when he wrote the original Space Station number 5?
Ronnie had a microphone in his mouth on the intro of Space Station number 5, and that, and that kind of sounds like whales and stuff. He stuck a microphone in his mouth goofing off, and it sounded crazy like that. And, you know, it was some frustrated moment, like we were trying to do something, get a sound, and it was the microphone that was on his guitar, I think, and he just said, you know, this guitar sounds like crap, and he took a microphone, stuck it in his mouth, and started screaming. We all went, whoa, that sounds out of sight. And we ended up putting that on the front of the song. Actually, Ronnie actually wrote the music to the lyrics. He was thumbing through my notebook, and he found this lyric, Space Station number 5. I was really into space songs then, and I still am a little bit, but I was really into him at that point in my life, and he started writing it. I'm going, yeah, you know. So we Ronnie and I on the first album wrote really well together. It was just real fast, you know. He'd look through my notebook and say, I like this lyric. I'd say, okay, you know, and he'd start playing a riff and I'd start singing. It was just that simple. You know, I was naive. I had never written songs before. You know, it was my first songs I ever wrote. Bad Motor Scooter, first song I ever wrote, really. I mean, one of the first, for certainly the top first three songs I ever wrote in my life.
A reader named Mark Tank says, you've always played Les Paul-style guitars as opposed to Strat styles. I know why I am a dedicated Les Paul player. Why are you?
Oh, there's no question about it. I like the necks on a Les Paul. I like a little bit of a fatter neck style than most Strats are, even though some of them aren't. But I don't like the curve. I don't like the small frets. Even though you can change all that, I don't. The standard Strat style and the standard Les Paul, I take a standard Les Paul, pick it up, and I play it, and I go, this is me. I pick up a Strat. It's work. You have to really work harder when you play the guitar, like I do anyway, on a Strat. And I don't like to work. You're supposed to play music. It ain't work. So, and plus the sound is just so forgiving on Les Paul. You know, it's more distorted, powerful, sustainy, big frets. Even though I play a Yamaha, makes me a wonderful guitar that I use because it fits all my needs. It's got an acoustic pickup in it, and it's got, you know, active pickups and tone controls and all that. But it's basically feels like a Les Paul.
A reader named Cabo Cat asks, being a sports car lover and collector, do you have any plans to purchase a Tesla Roadster?
Not right now, I don't. I just purchased a 599 Fiorano, and I actually get it, I think, to the end of this month. I get it for my birthday. I ordered it quite a while back.
Oh, my.
And I get it for my birthday, and it's. I can't wait for that car. That should satisfy that should be my last car I buy. I should say, you know, that's it. There's nothing, you know, it's supposed to be the fastest and the greatest Ferrari ever built, so we'll see.
One last question about the new band and the writing. How are you guys going about the writing? Is everybody contributing equally?
Well, Joe and I got together, and just the two of us in my studio, we just kind of, I showed him a couple ideas I had, and he showed me a couple ideas he had, and we kind of co-write little skeletons of songs, you know, melody, arrangement, and then we got together and we demoed those out. But since we all been getting together, now, we've also thrown in a couple songs. Like the other day, we got this one called, I'm calling it Bitten by the Wolf. That's a real bluesy New Orleans kind of swampy Delta blues kind of thing. And the way everyone contributed, it's a co-written song. I mean, so there'll be some songs that are co-written by the whole band, but it's kind of like Joe and I are really kind of the writers. But when Chad starts playing drums on a song, believe me, he instantly, that foot pattern, man, that he'll come up with is as important as the damn guitar riff, you know? So We really haven't sorted all that out. We're really not talking any business, but I'm sure there'll be some co-written songs. Joe and I will probably always be the chief writers, you know, the guys that are more prolific songwriters. And I don't know, see how far this band goes, because hopefully, like I said, it all really works and we get a record out next year and go out and do some shows. It really depends on the Chili's right now, because Joe just finished his thing. I'm pretty much finished. I'm going to go out and support this record a little bit. Cosmic Universe Fashion, I'll go out and do as many shows as I can until this band starts. But once this band starts, Mike, Joe, and I are ready to go. Let's go, you know. And so it's really up to the Chili's, and we're hoping that you know, they're having too much fun to get back together too soon, you know.
A long break.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite bands in the world. I would never be responsible for holding, you know, them up in some record form or going out on tour. I love the Chili's, man. They're just awesome.
But if they could take a long break, that would be okay.
Yeah, it would be awesome. You know, Chad and Mike and I, with the original Chickenfoot, we do give it away, man. We do all kinds of stuff.
Sammy, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
You know, when I said I wrote the book, but I never released it, well, I just released a couple chapters.
Well, maybe we'll have some more in the future. This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with Sammy Hagar. Again, Sammy, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir, it has.
All right, you take care.
Okay, thanks, man. I got to run because I got a masseuse waiting for me downstairs, and I need it.
Life is tough.
Oh, well, it can be. I'll see you, buddy.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye.